Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the magnificent book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 14, where we left off last time. Mark chapter 6, verse 14. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We're live on the air. I teach another book of the Bible. When we go off the air, I pray for you by name, one by one, as the Holy Spirit leads according to his beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Excuse me. And then we pray fervently for America. Come every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Come every Sunday, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer, live, radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, Truth Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. And right there, you'll see a sign with a little arrow, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida, 32940. Now the curtain comes up on Mark chapter 6, verse 14. Excuse me. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. You feed them. There's more than enough. You feed them. There's more than enough. Because our God is so awesome, he has many names. One of his names is El Shaddai. It actually means in the Hebrew, the many-breasted one. Of course, he's not a woman, he's a spirit. It's a figure of speech. He's able to feed everybody all the time, whatever they need, more than enough.
Amen.
You feed them, there's more than enough.
Verse 14, and King Herod heard of him.
King Herod's the most powerful man in the world at that time, and he heard of Jesus.
For his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. Therefore do mighty works show forth themselves from him.
Herod was kind of superstitious. He said, "Ooh, this is John the Baptist, and that's causing all these miracles."
Verse 15, others said that it was Elias.
That would be Elijah from the Greek. Now, the prophet Elijah never did die, and we know that from 2 Kings. But Elijah, it was told in the scripture, and everybody knew it, in Malachi 4, God would send Elijah before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before the first advent and before the second advent. And Elijah would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. He always tells you they're two fathers. So some said, "That's who that is. This is Elijah. The first advent's coming," they thought.
And others said, "It's a prophet."
It's somebody who's anointed by the Holy Spirit, a seer.
And it's one of the prophets.
Maybe it's Jeremiah. Maybe it's Isaiah.
Verse 16, and when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John."
Yes, John the Baptist, the king has spoken.
Whom I beheaded.
Uh-oh, he beheaded him. Sounds like he's had a lot of sleepless nights. He's a little afraid. He knew who cut off the head of the man of God. God's word says, "Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm." It were better for you that you had a millstone hung about your neck and you would drown the depths of the sea. He's scared.
He's risen from the dead. The Herod himself had set forth and laid hold upon John.
Why did you do that?
And bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife.
Oh, King Herod, having no morals, had stolen the sexy wife of his brother Philip, Mrs. Herod, Herodias. But why did he kill John?
For he had married her. Verse 18. For John had said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife.
I love John the Baptist. He speaks to the man of the hour with all the power and says, you're sinning here. You just committed adultery. You can't have your brother's wife.
Verse 19.
You're supposed to call sin, sin, people.
Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him.
Now, Mrs. Herod obviously did not love King Herod. She probably did not love Philip. But what she loved to be the first lady. She just wanted to be the lady in power. So she didn't want John the Baptist making Herod think maybe he ought to give her back to Philip. I doubt Philip would have her back.
I would have killed him.
She wanted to kill him.
But she could not.
No, she couldn't. Why?
Verse 20. For Herod feared John.
He had a great respect for John.
He knew that he was a just man and holy, and observed him, that he did many things and heard him gladly.
Herod, like you, like every human being, had a hole in his soul. He was trying to find truth, and the man of God had it. It sounds like Herod was not too far from having salvation, but his wife interfered. Look out for those wrong associations.
Verse 21. And when a convenient day was come, Herod, on his birthday, made a supper as lords and captains and chiefs of state in Galilee.
It's Herod's birthday. We're going to party hardy. We got food. We got wine overflowing. Maybe some women here. Music. Okay, big bash.
Verse 22. And when the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod.
Now this was not cute little Shirley Temple or the good ship lollipop. Nope, this is a belly dance, gyrating, implying the sex act. A little girl, no morals, pedophile.
And them that sat with him, King said unto the damsel,
it pleased them, no morals.
Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it unto thee.
Why would he do that? I give you something, you give me something, prudent little girl.
23. And he swear unto her.
Uh-oh, he made a vow. Now there he is, all this sexual debauchery. The only thing moral about him was the king had to keep his word. That was honor. You know what? You have to keep your word. If you don't, God would exact it from you. Psalm 50 says, you be careful about making a vow to God. You vowed you were going to be faithful in church. You were going to pray. You were going to fast. You were going to return your tithes and offerings. God says, if you don't do it, you're going to pay and it won't be pretty. He'll exact it from you. But if you keep your vow to God, Psalm 50, you'll glorify him and he'll deliver you in the day of trouble. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto half of my kingdom.
Lord, that's that old demon alcohol talking. I'll give you half of my kingdom. Have you ever heard a drunk man or a drunk woman talk? They act like they know everything. And as my handsome granddaddy Aaron said to my beautiful grandmother Claudia, Lordy, Lordy, Miss Claudia.
Take her forth. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask?
What shall I ask, mommy?
And she said, the head of John the Baptist.
The head of John the Baptist. Now, you know, I'm not going to honor her a bit on Mother's Day, are you? Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it.
Amen.
He might depart somewhere in the middle. When he's old, he won't depart from it.
Amen.
If you do not train up a child in Jesus in the Bible, you're hurting your child. By the time they're 4 years old, a lot of things have been settled. If they've never heard of Jesus in the Bible by 12, not going to church, it's very difficult to win them. I know a wonderful man is a preacher. Their first child, a little infant, he would hold him in his arms and read the gospel to him. Even when you're pregnant, read the word of God to that child. The spirit will hear.
Verse 25, she came in straightway, haste, and asked him, I will that thou give me by and by.
So she runs back in there, by and by means right this minute, King. I want this right this moment.
The charger, the head of John the Baptist.
Uh-oh.
26, and the king was exceedingly sad.
He really revered John. He wanted to hear him some more. He seemed to have the words of life.
Yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him,
the king always had to keep his word, otherwise he'd lose his respect,
would not reject her. Verse 27, and immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And they went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother.
We are aghast at that. But Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. Some years ago, we saw hooded ISIS terrorists with a sword in their hand cut off the heads of people in orange jumpsuits, mostly Christians. When Donald John Trump became president, he stopped all of that. He got ISIS. But he had still had the Trump haters. There was a woman performer. She thought she was funny. She dressed in an ISIS outfit, hood and all, sword. And she held up a replica of the head of Donald John Trump full with blood. She laughed. She thought it was funny. The left politicians laughed. But there was a young boy sitting in front of a television set who cried. His name was Baron Trump. His beautiful mother, Melania, ran in and saw what happened. Nothing new under the sun. In Luke chapter 1, verse 17, we're told that John the Baptist would come in the spirit of Elijah. Now, we know Elijah never died. 2 Kings, he went up to heaven in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire. We also know that Malachi 4 says that before the first advent of Jesus and before the second advent, before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord, God will send Elijah, the prophet, and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. There are two fathers. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that old serpent, that's not a snake. See, don't always think the serpent means snake. It doesn't, them. Beguiled Eve, Greek exopati, wholly seduced her, and was the father of Cain. Genesis 3:15, the serpent seed, not a snake. Now, John the Baptist, having the anointing of Elijah, his first sermon was, repent, ye generation of vipers, serpents, not a snake, Lucifer, Satan, devil, serpent, dragon, Revelation 12. Generation in the Greek is brood, sperm, progeny, children. He did that well. Now, Jesus said of John the Baptist, if you could receive John the Baptist, he is Elijah. There's no such thing as reincarnation of the flesh body, but Elijah's spirit moved into John Baptist's spirit body. But they did not receive John the Baptist. They killed him. They did not receive Jesus. They killed him. So this call for a second advent, and then we learn the second advent, Jesus is coming. He will not die this time. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But
Amen.
What about Elijah? Elijah this time will come, or Revelation 11, into two witnesses. The Greek does not say what the gender is. They will tell you they are two fathers. The devil, Satan, serpent, beguiled Eve in the garden and has children. You just heard it.
Verse 29. When his disciples heard of it, came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb.
They loved him, the bloody corpse.
Verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves unto Jesus and told him all things.
Now the subject changes. Early in this chapter, Jesus had sent out the apostles on a trial run. Pentecost did not happen, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, but he gave them a temporary baptism. He breathed on them, and he sent them out two by two to cast out devils and heal the sick and bring people to repentance. So they're coming back now. Other gospels say that, look, Jesus, even the devils pay attention to us. The Lord sends you out from time to time. Always come back and report to headquarters and say thank you.
Both what they had done and what they had taught. Verse 31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while.
Why did Jesus tell them to rest a while? Because Jesus knows that when you have the Holy Spirit fire and you speak the power of God, virtue goes out of you. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Virtue's gone out of me. Modern scientists have discovered, although they don't understand the Holy Spirit, that a person who's a public speaker, giving it all, everything, what happens to their body is the same thing as if they'd been digging ditches in the hot sun 12 hours. So you need a little rest. Come apart, rest a while, said Jesus.
For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat.
They didn't even have time to eat. Come apart and rest a while.
Verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately.
They thought they sneaked away there. Nobody saw them. Now, they weren't going on a vacation. They weren't going to sleep. They weren't going to watch videos. They weren't going to go out to dinner. They weren't going to have fun. They were going to sit down and eat a decent meal and let Jesus feed them the word of God, because man lives by every word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. And the word of God is life to those that find them and health to all their flesh.
Amen.
Verse 33. And when the people saw them departing, and they knew him, he ran afoot thither out of all cities, outwent them.
Don't you love them? They ran on foot around the water, and were there waiting when Jesus' disciples got there. I admire that. Are you running for Jesus? Panting after him? Not his stuff. Him. Jesus. That intimate relationship. Like a hart pants after the water brook. Are you running after Jesus, or are you just running?
They came together unto him. Verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion for them.
Jesus, a compassionate counselor. He's tired too. You can always tell an elect that even going through hell can hardly breathe, but they will always feel your pain.
Amen.
You have someone in front of you say they love you, and you're fighting for your life, and they don't cry with you. That's not an elect. You always feel somebody else's pain. Understand, we're one body.
Amen.
The leg knows when the foot hurts. The body knows when the eye hurts. The whole body knows when the heart hurts.
Because they were as sheep having no shepherd.
A shepherd is a perpetual feeding trough. He feeds his sheep. A shepherd is a perpetual feeding trough. No wonder the wise men found baby Jesus lying in a feeding trough. Bread of heaven. Eat my body, drink my blood, says Jesus. You'll never be hungry again.
Amen.
Now you work for that shepherd. A shepherd is a perpetual feeding trough.
And he began to teach them many things.
The word of God, the word more powerful than a two-edged sword, the bread of heaven.
35, and when the day was now far spent.
It's getting dark now, multitudes out here.
Disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Verse 36, send them away, that they may go into the country, round about it, into the villages, and buy themselves bread. They have nothing to eat.
These people are hungry, so let them go. There's no 7-Eleven there. Let them go find some food. They're hungry.
Verse 37, but he answered and said to them, give ye them to eat.
You feed them. You feed them. Everybody you meet is starving. What do you have in your hand? Do you have the bread of healing? The bread of hope? The bread of encouragement? The bread of supply? The bread of salvation? You are a feeding trough. And there's more than enough. Genesis 1 to Revelation 21. You feed them. Nothing is given to you to keep. Sorry about that. Nothing is given to you to keep. Give it away. Empty your basket. God will fill it again.
Amen.
Give.
Amen.
Feed. 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 What do you have in your hand? What word do you have? What word do you have? What word do you have?
And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Verse 30.
Now, and that would be about $40. Today, with Joe Obama, his inflation, that's nothing. But in Bible times, $40 was big, big money. That was a lot of money.
And he said to them, how many loaves have you?
What do you have in your hand? Give it away. Nothing's yours to keep.
Go and see.
Go and see what you have. Now, everybody you meet is malnourished. We're not talking about bread. Amos 8:11 says, the famine of the end time is not for bread of water, but for every word of God. Everybody you meet is malnourished. When Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, he wasn't talking about food. He was talking about the word of God. That person that comes to you who's lost is literally starving to death, no pun intended, for the wages of sin is death. Your feeding trough should have salvation. Yahweh Savior, Jesus, feed them, Jesus. That person calling you right now on the cell phone, but you're trying to ignore it because you're listening to me, they're very hungry. That's why they call you all the time. They want to talk about their hair, their clothes, their busy, busy stuff, their life. Mm-mm. Why don't you stop that? Why don't you feed them what they need? Everybody's starving. Feed them hope. Feed them money. Feed them love. Feed them encouragement. Feed them healing. Jesus says when he returns, if some people He's going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. I wasn't hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. And people will say, what? When do we see you hungry, Jesus, or thirsty? Inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Of course we feed the hungry. Bread. We all do that. I do that on a regular basis. Certainly we do that. But that's not the deeper meaning. When he says to feed the hungry, he means for you to feed them the word of God. You're a minister of reconciliation. Everybody you meet is hungry.
Amen.
Fill the hole of their soul. Fill the empty tummy with the word of God.
Amen.
You don't want to hear Jesus say, you didn't feed me. How many people did you feed this week? I'm not talking about food. You feed a homeless person, they need food the next day. We do that. But you feed somebody the word of God, the word will endure forever.
Well, when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes.
We got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 is a number of grace. Loaves, bread, the word of God. The Greek here for fish is Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. The fish is a symbol of Jesus. After Jesus paid the sin debt and went back to heaven, the early Christians were persecuted, so they had to hide in their homes and have church. But they draw a picture of a fish out there, and that is a symbol of Jesus. Now, see, you've got grace, 5 loaves, and you've got the fish, you've got Jesus. Believe you me, that's enough. And to share, to give it to spare. That's in your feeding trough.
Verse 39, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass.
Divine order. You never do anything out of order. At work, at play, money, bank account, little things, cleaning up a place. Anytime you leave things hither, thither, and yon, there's a spirit of disorder. Always have order. Order, order, order. If you've got a problem with that, take it to the Lord. Fast and pray and get that straightened out in your brain, because there's something wrong there and you're hindering your destiny.
Verse 40. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties.
50, jubilee, hundredfold, going to be free from hunger.
Verse 41, when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and he blessed and brake the loaves.
Okay, gives thanks.
And gave them to his disciples to set before them.
Now, he didn't multiply it. He just broke it up into bite-sized pieces, okay? Now, here you go. It's kind of, you know, you take a bite, you take a bite, you take a bite. Now they go to feed them one by one. One by one, hungry person comes to you. The email, in church, at work, at school. Hungry people, start with a bite. 1 word, 2 words, 3 words.
And the 2 fish he divided among them. Oh, verse 42. And they did all eat and were filled.
Enough to share? To give and to spare. See, God multiplies your seed sown. Nothing's yours to keep. Give it away. Feed everybody you meet. Everybody's about starved to death. The church is about half dead. They're starving to death for the word of God. I've never seen such a weak, feckless bunch of Christians. I mean, they don't even call you to pray about anything. It's always so busy working out for themselves. Busy is a sin when it takes you away from your destiny. So feed everybody. Feed the word of God.
Verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments out of the fishes.
12, the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus did not multiply it. He gives you the word, and you're supposed to multiply it. Multiply it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Everybody you meet's your world. The next person's your mission field. Did you go in the world this week? Go into the world and feed. And you then become the vessel of the multiplication. He multiplies your seed sown. Enough for everybody. El Shaddai, all-sufficient God, more than enough.
Verse 44, they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men.
All the gospel says, plus women and children, which is many, many more than that. Notice the five. Three zeros were added. I always say, I give you all I've got, Lord. You add the zeros so I can give this all away to somebody else for your glory. You feed them. There's more than enough. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, Scott Merson. David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8.
All sufficiency, all times, absolutely perfect. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Instead of healing today, I'm going to give you a love line. Some years ago, a beautiful woman, Corrine Small, told me this. There's so much good in the worst of us. There's so much bad in the best of us. It would be good if none of us would talk about the rest of us. For those of you in cyberspace who are not saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I change my mind.
I change my mind.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart and save my soul.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart and save my soul.
Forgive all my sins.
Forgive all my sins.
Wash them all away with your precious blood.
Wash them all away with your precious blood.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Make me usable to win many souls to Jesus. Tell me where to go to church faithfully every time the door opens.
Tell me where to go to church faithfully every time the door opens.
I confess with my mouth before the whole wide world. That Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Amen.
That Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now for those who are in cyberspace who prayed that prayer, Romans 10 says, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. You need to tell two or three people. I invite you to tell me. In a moment, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. Call that. It's my voicemail. Leave your confession on there. When I get it, I'll pray for you. And welcome to the family of God. Get yourself a Bible, Old Testament and New. I suggest the King James is the only version that you could trace almost every word back to the original Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Syriac, Chaldee, in which Holy Spirit dictated it. Read that Bible every day. You need to get out of your head and into your heart. The busier you are, the more words you need. So get up early and do it, because you're hurting yourself if you don't fill with the Word of God. Find a place in your home for prayer. Now you pray, Father, in Jesus' name. No cats, no dogs, no cell phones, no television, no people, nobody, no food. Commune with him. Have your Bible there. Put him in remembrance of his scripture. You talk to him. Don't do all the talking. Talk to him. And fast and seek and knock. for the full baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that is the only way you're going to get through the tribulation. If you've got the baptism, the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you and equip you. Mm-hmm. Find a church that teaches God's word, book, chapter, verse, and line. We do that here every Sunday and every Wednesday. Make sure the leader there, the shepherd, has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, operates in those gifts. Be faithful. You need to go prayer meeting. I've noticed the ones that drop out of prayer meeting, you backslide. You need to learn how to pray in the Spirit, and prayer meeting is where you do it. Go on Sundays, go faithfully. Don't just watch the show. Be an active member. Find out things to make it better. Go knocking on doors. Call up people. Invite people to come. Everybody you meet's hungry. Go tell them you know where the Word of God is. And return your tithe, because God says to, where you get fed God's Word and your offering. And God bless you, and welcome the family of God. In the name and the power of Jesus, be healed in Jesus' name. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from your destruction. The Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings. He takes sickness from the midst of you. He brings divine order to your blood, to your system. You have perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction or inaction. Pick up your bed and walk. You walk without pain, without cane, without walker, without wheelchair. Your memories are restored. He adds years to your life. You run, you're not weary. You walk, you're not faint. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Pick up a bed and walk. And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord does his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world. Yes, I am. Sherry Medlock, I just told you the truth. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And oh, Feeding Trough Church, no greater love of this than a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you too, everybody in here. All the wonderful spirits, I feel your spirit in cyberspace. I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together, the family of God all over the world, to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
crucifixion, your death, your life, your resurrection has made a way for us to see the new day, brand new creation. You light, this is salvation. Your death, your life, your resurrection has made a way for us. You have made a way, you have made a way for us. You have made a way for us to see the new day.
The beginning of a new one.
Your age.
God and praise and love be ever. never grow old. There are so few words that never grow old. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Hey, this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Love is a beautiful thing. It takes a heart and lets it sing. Love changes everything. It ends the war that lies within.
Promised land.
So all the sons and daughters run.